The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the December issue of Scout Life. And we're going to go to Hitch and Rack and continue with Dear Pedro. Dear Pedro, this magazine was my inspiration to go to Philmont. I saw stories about all these kids hiking, and I never thought it would be possible for a kid from Michigan to go. But I got a call one evening from my scoutmaster asking me to go. And of course I said yes. On my way to Philmont, I couldn't stop thinking of the picture I saw of the kids hiking back into base camp. I was so eager we got closer to the finally walking in those kids' places. But as I walked in on that last day, I realized that I didn't want to walk that path. It meant my trip was ending, and I would have to leave this place. It was just a surreal experience to stand where you have dreamed of standing. That's from Wyatt R. in Twin Lake, Michigan. Inspiration seems to be the theme of the month, Wyatt. And what better place to be inspired than my old home, Philmont Scout Ranch? Hello, Pedro. You are wrong. You are not the only male burro. There are many of us, and we have kept our identities secret for years. We are more powerful than ever. By the way, you should try tumbleweed tempura. It's great. That from Mason, the male burro, West Roxbury, Massachusetts. Shh, Mason, don't let anyone know our secret. But do let me know the secret behind tumbleweed tempura. Dear Pedro, I have been in scouting for 7 years, and reading these magazines has helped me be a better scout. So thank you for that, and keep making these magazines. That's from Landon C. in Burgon, North Carolina.
I'll keep working hard for you, Landon, and you keep working hard in scouting. But even we hard workers need a little snack break, not to mention the chance to get a little wacky every now and then. So, it's off to my cozy corral to rest up for another work day of pulling the boss weight. Catch you next month. Nature Crew. Skunks. Stinky, but sweet. When you think skunk, you probably think stink. But these critters are usually sweet-natured and helpful. They eat a lot of pests. Of course, it doesn't help that skunks belong to the scientific family called Mephitidae, a word that means stink in Latin. Page 14, picture of a nice skunk here, with the caption, "Skunks have a great sense of smell." How funny is that? What's the secret behind skunk's odor? Skunks have two scent glands at the base of their tail that produce a super strong sulfur compound. Think rotten eggs, but much worse. They can keep only about a tablespoon of this liquid on tap, and it takes about 10 days for their body to make more. So they use this spray sparingly, only when they really feel threatened, like if someone startles a mother with her kids. You've been warned. Skunks prefer to warn trespassers about what's in store for them if they come too close. For starters, all skunks have those characteristic black and white stripes or spots, which serve as the main signal for other animals to beware. Depending on the species, skunks might also stamp their feet, hiss, raise their tail, or even do a handstand on their front feet before spraying. When skunks use their spray, they can aim it accurately up to about 10 feet. So get out of the way if you ever see any of these warning signs. If you or your pet do get sprayed, see how to quell that smell at go.scoutlife.org/skunk. Few wild animals actually attack skunks. Only about 5 of every 100 skunk deaths are caused by predators. Mammals can smell skunk spray very well, whereas most birds don't have a good sense of smell. So it's no surprise that the main predators of skunks are owls, particularly the great horned owl. Skunks 101. The 10 skunk species around today are unique to the Western Hemisphere, from Canada to Argentina. However, skunk fossils have been found in Europe.
The most familiar species in the United States in the stripes is the striped skunk. The others include the hooded skunk, four species of hognose skunks, the largest reaches up to 18 pounds, and four species of spotted skunks, the smallest weighs just over a pound. Of all the species, only the hooded skunk is increasing in numbers. The others are decreasing or stable. Two of the spotted skunk species are in serious decline. Skunks might live up to 7 years in the wild, but most survive only about 3 years. Unfortunately, since skunks can't see very well, the main cause of death is being hit by cars. Other causes include starvation in winter and diseases. Skunks are mostly nocturnal, but they're also active at twilight. Don't be surprised, though, to see one during the day. There are times when they need to leave their burrow to find food. Since adult males are nearly always solitary and do not help raise young, daytime foraging is much more likely done by mothers that have to feed their little ones. Even though they're weaned about 2 months, kids stay with their mom between 8 and 12 months. Although insects are a favorite food, skunks are true omnivores and will eat just about any small creature they can find, earthworms, rodents, snakes, and birds, plus eggs and plants. In cool climates, skunks are much less active in the winter. They lower their body temperature not as low as with true hibernation and spend most of that time in dens. May all your encounters with skunk creatures be fun, safe, and odor-free. As we look at page 14 on the top, skunks have short legs and strong claws, perfect for digging to find food and build underground dens. Females will overwinter in a den together, but males usually den alone. Skunks can be curious and not see you as a threat. In that case, don't make sudden movements and let the skunks do their own thing and move on. See how one cyclist dealt with the skunk family at goscotlock.org/cyclist. And here at the bottom of page 15, bottom left, hognose skunks are found fond of termites, beetles, and spiders. And on the bottom right, unfortunately, a fair number of skunks die from rabies, more often in Midwestern plain states, California and Texas. If a skunk is acting aggressive, which is not typical, is unable to walk or move normally, wobbling, falling over, or has excessive salivation, then back away and call your local SPCA Wildlife Department, Wildlife Rehabilitator, or State Wildlife Agency right away. Scout Life Gear Guy, update, layer up. Stay warm and dry this winter with these tips. Whatever your winter activity, staying warm requires finding the right combination of layers. The specific layers depend on your body, the temperature and speeds, and how much you sweat. Tips for staying comfortable. Move. Clothing does not produce heat. It only traps the heat your body produces. If you feel cold, start moving or pick up your pace. Pace yourself. Avoid sweating heavily because wet clothing conducts heat away from your body. Set a pace that keeps you warm without causing you to overheat. Adjust layers. Wear a layering system that includes a wicking, fast-drying base layer against your skin, one or more insulation layers appropriate for the temps with ideally at least one breathable, and a waterproof breathable shell that protects against wind and precipitation. Swap these on and off as much as needed. Put on an extra layer when stopping for a short break, and take it off when you start moving again, unless you've gotten cold. Fuel up. In cold, dry conditions, you become dehydrated more quickly than you realize. Drink frequently. Carry a thermos with a hot drink. Your body also needs more fuel in colder temps to maintain its internal furnace. Eat high-fat snacks, like chocolate and nuts, because fat is a slow-burning fuel that keeps your body going. Don't underestimate your caloric needs. The shell. For hitting the slopes, you'll need plenty of insulation, plus a hooded shell that fights off wind and flying snow. The Columbia Whirlybird in an interchange jacket combines three jackets in one with a waterproof breathable shell and an inner jacket packed with synthetic insulation that also features a thermal reflective liner to put body heat to good use. The two jackets can each be worn alone or zipped together for the coldest conditions. The shell has a lined hood and a powder skirt. Columbia's outgrown system lets you extend the sleeves by 1.5 inches to accommodate a growing kid. Base layer. As with insulation, a mid-white base layer delivers the most versatility in a range of temps. The REI Merino Midweight Crew Base Layer top accomplishes exactly that. It's ultra-fine, 18.5-gauge merino wool wicks sweat off skin and feels soft, and wool naturally resists getting stinky. The close fit means optimal wicking, but underarm gussets that flat seams mean full range of motion and no chafing. Plus, a drop-tail hem keeps this shirt tucked in. No snow in the pants. Insulation. How much insulation you need depends on many variables, but a versatile piece that can be worn as an outer layer or as part of a system in the Patagonia Better Sweater, this full-zip midweight jacket will get plenty of use from downhill ski runs under an insulated shell to chilly days hiking, sledding, and traveling to school. It has two zipper head hand pockets and a tall collar to block cold wind. With some moderate to high exertion activities, a vest strikes a good balance of trapping core heat while letting the body release excess heat and moisture. The REA 650 down vest marries a windproof polyester shell fabric with a durable water-repellent finish to shed light precipitation with 650 fill power down for a good warmth-to-weight ratio and packability. It stuffs into one of the zipper hand pockets. Find Gear Guy here. Gear Guy makes finding information online a snap. Just go to scoutlife.org/Gear Guy for links to all the gear shown here. Page 18, Astronauts in Training. Your picture's on upper part of page 18. Scouts use a ball to learn about the phases of the moon. Then to the right, upper right, a scout rides in the multi-axis trainer, which simulates an uncontrolled free fall. On the bottom left, scouts do more than study the stars at the cosmosphere. A scout works on a simulated mission. And at the far right, on page 18, bottom, Apollo 17 astronaut Harrison Schmitt stands by the American flag on the moon in 1972. You slip into a seat inside an enclosed machine, page 19. It slowly starts spinning, picking up speed like a tilt-a-whirl ride gone haywire. The faster it accelerates, the greater the gravitational force you feel, up to 4 times greater than normal. That's a G-force of 4, and it slams your body into the seat. It's what campers can experience at the Cosmosphere, a space museum in Hutchinson, Kansas. They spin you so fast. It's neat feeling more gravity, says Thomas McClendon, 13, a star scout with Troop 232 in Towanda, Kansas. During 4 days at the Cosmosphere's Merit of Space Summer Camp, scouts work on merit badges like aviation, astronomy, and energy. And they also ride machines similar to what astronauts train on. They try to flight simulators conduct simulated missions to the moon and Mars, check out star shows in the museum's planetarium, program robots, and build handheld gliders. There's something new every camp, says Taylan Callahan Lane, 13. This past summer marked the third time the second-class scout from Troop 171 of Spokane, Washington, has attended a Cosmosphere camp. One of his favorite activities is participating in a mission. You've really got to know how to communicate, like in a real scout patrol on a space mission, Talon says. Work as a team. For the missions, scouts are split up into two teams, the control team and the lunar module team. One loads up into five-person space capsule, while the other sits behind actual mission control panels used in NASA's Gemini and Apollo missions. The teams talk to each other, working together to complete assigned tasks. There were a whole bunch of switches and a monitor for each person, says Thomas, describing the lunar module. You have a checklist to make sure no one blows up the craft. Knowing your role and doing your best helps the entire mission. It doesn't matter if you recently met all your teammates at camp. Every scout has a job to do. It doesn't just teach you about space. You get to be a leader and work as a team, says Lorenzo Perez, 12, a first-class scout from Troop 249 of Topeka, Kansas. The place to learn. The Cosmosphere houses more than 15,000 American and Russian space artifacts, including a moon rock collected during the Apollo 11 mission, Russian spacesuits, the Apollo 13 command module, and the Mercury Liberty Bell 7 capsule. Scouts examined some of these items during their merit badge classes. For the geology merit badge, they used Geiger counters, which detect radiation, to study meteorites. Scouts also tested the Cosmosphere's flight simulators, one of which featured a replica F-16 fighter jet cockpit rigged with monitors, while another involved a virtual reality headset. With these programmable simulators, scouts could pilot practically any aircraft, from a fighter jet to the Wright Brothers' 1903 Flyer. Camp gave me an opportunity to learn about the plane, space, tech, and just everything I love and enjoy, Dalen says. Scouts in space. Of the 12 men who walked on the moon during NASA's Apollo missions in the 1960s and 1970s, 11 were scouts. Neil Armstrong, Apollo 11, and Charles Duke Apollo, 16, were Eagle Scouts. Since NASA started selecting astronauts in 1959, more than half had been involved in scouting. Keep learning. Harrison Schmitt, 86, is one of the 12 people in human history to set foot on the moon. Before he was an Apollo 17 astronaut, he was a Cub Scout and a second-class scout with units in Silver City, New Mexico. Scouting taught him about teamwork and the value of a diverse education. Don't rely on school. If you're interested in something, seek more resources, like museums or programs within scouting, to enrich your knowledge. Take on as many different experiences. Read as many different books as you possibly can. Study as many different subjects as you can. Get as broad an education as possible, Schmidt says. You may never use it, but the point is that unless you have that background, there are many careers that aren't open to you. Many of these careers build on themselves. One career can build the foundation for another that's even more exciting. The more education and experience you acquire, the more confident you can be about trying something new, he says. We have upper right corner on page 19, Scouts solder robotic electronics. Schmidt collects lunar samples during the Apollo 17 mission. He says we can still learn new things about the moon from these samples. And the bottom of page 19, Scouts program Lego Mindstorms EV3 robots. Let's look at glaciers, plays 20 through 23. Here on page 20, it shows a large glacier here. And glaciers are large, slowly moving rivers of ice. Sound cool? Turn the page to learn more about them. There are around 198,000 glaciers in the world. About 10% of Earth is covered with glaciers. There are glaciers on every continent except Australia. Question, why do you wear only one snow boot? Because there's only a 51st chance of snow. Said Pedro. Glaciers hold more than 60% of the world's fresh water. The largest glacier in the world is Lambert Glacier in Antarctica. It is 250 miles long, 50 miles wide, and 8,200 feet deep. And all the world's glaciers melted. If all the world's glaciers melted, sea levels would rise about 230 feet, leaving all coastal cities underwater. Glaciers are made of snow, rock, and sediment. That over 100 to 150 years packed into large, thickened ice piles. Next month, let's look at President's Day. And our first cartoon of the day, Lion Pride, pole position. So here's Lion, he's listing. Someone's chatter, 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 chatter. Next picture, chatter, 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 chatter. So he's looking. I thought you said North Pole. And the sign says North Pole. Oops. Next on page 29, we have Tiger's Adventures. Hi, Tiger. My mom just made me a new winter cap. Want to try it on? Sure, Iggy. Here you go. A perfect fit. Yeah, but what's all this stuff, extra stuff? Oh, well, I guess my mom was tired of reminding me to put on my scarf and mittens and boots, so she sewed them into the hat. Here, I'll help you finish putting it on. And Iggy's trying to put it on, the hat, the gloves. Well, what do you think? Now Iggy's all tied up, mouth covered. I told Mom you'd like it. I'm going to ask her to make you another one. Hey, Mom! I don't think Iggy likes the idea. Wolfgang Decor Debacle. So Wolfgang has a little tree here. Decorating the Den 9 Christmas tree, Otto? Yep, Mr. Lupine put me in charge. Well, first off, you've got two red bulbs right next to each other. Now, move that pine cone up and to the left. Whoa, 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 not that far left. This garland is sweeping way too low on the tree skirt. It looks tacky. Later. I've heard of Elf on the Shelf, but Scout on his proof. And there is Wolfie in the middle of the tree. Oh, too bad. Next we have the Bear Bunch. Yeti. As you're looking at a big, tall, grizzly polar bear with his teeth growling. I'm the abominable snowman. Why are you so abominable? Because I'm always so cold. Well, I think we can help. You can fly south for the winter. A ticket to Florida? For some fun? In the sun? Thank you. Now it's time for Dink, Duck, Duff, and Desi. Picture, Dink, then two rabbits, then a skunk, then an alligator, then a turtle, then a tiger. Hey, Dink and Duff, everyone looks so cheerful. They should. Brushing your teeth is something to smile about. Cheerful. Scouts look for the bright side of things and cheerfully do tasks that come their way. They try to make others happy. Reader's favorites. Favorite derby? Designing a car is fun. You get to build a car and see it go vroom, vroom. I like racing, because even if you lose, you still have a fun time. It's so cool. Klondike Derby 10%. Space Snuff said, you get to make rockets, because I like space, because I like fishing. Fishing Derby 9%, because I am a great fisher. Fishing is fun, and I love it. We asked, you answered. Here are some of the results of one of our online reader polls. Let us know your favorites at go.scotlife.org/polls. Pee-wee Harris looks at winter camping. Ah, we see Pee-wee relaxing in the hot tub. Is there nothing more relaxing than a nice long soak in a bubbling hot tub? I don't think so. Nothing like some vigorous exercise to raise the old temps. I am not sure this bonfire is big enough. This is the life. I'm glad I'm not walking on this blazing hot sand. As he's riding, sipping on a nice drink, riding on a camel. Wow! These ghost peppers are a super quick way to warm up. Just another toasty stroll on the surface of the sun. Hey, Pee-wee! It's below zero, and you aren't even shivering. What's your secret? They say if your head's warm, your body will follow. My brain's burning up with warm wishes. Next, we have the wacky adventures of Pedro. We have everything we need for an emergency preparedness kit. Ooh. And Pedro's talking to his friend. We should have what we need for about 3 days. Let's go through it. All right. Water, typically 1 gallon of water per person in your group per day. Hand crank weather radio. A flashlight with extra batteries, hand sanitizer, signaling device such as a whistle, first aid kit, garbage bags, wrench, or other tools, wet wipes or soap, disinfecting wipes if available, can opener, solar charger to power a cell phone in an emergency, medications, plastic sheeting, non-perishable food, 3 ways worth, 3 days worth for each person in the group. We're going to need another bag. What do you mean? I think everything easily fits in there. There's not nearly enough room for my emergency stash of tumbleweeds and alfalfa. Scouts in Action, 2 stories. They saved a man from drowning. Julian Rivera, 18, and his brother Yahir, 14, were on the beach with their dad, Julio, in Culebra, Puerto Rico, when they saw a man struggling in the surf hundreds of yards from shore. The boys and their dad quickly swam out to the man. Julian talked to the man to calm him while his brother and dad helped the man onto a boogie board. The exhausted man slipped back into the water several times as they headed to the shore. The Riveras put the man back onto the board each time and continued swimming toward the beach. The entire group was nearing exhaustion as they reached the shore. Julian, Yahir, and their father helped the man into a chair nearby. Julian looked for something for the man to eat, while Yahir found the man's belongings and brought him some water. No one was harmed during the rescue. Julian and Yahir Rivera, both members of Venturing Crew 63, chartered to the American Military Academy in Bayamon, Puerto Rico, along with Julio Rivera and a crew advisor, each received an honor medal for his actions. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.